We want to be in your presence. What a mighty God we serve. Help us, Lord, so we can serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, good morning. Good morning. This is, I just love how the family just all comes together and makes this work. That's just, you know, just praise God. And, you know, I just thank you to all of you. So just, you know, this is awesome. I love being in his presence. Don't you? Amen. Amen. So, and then we sing a lot of songs today about the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. And that really hits me because we're going to be talking a lot about that today. So a few things for us to think about before I get started. In the process of making difficult decisions, how do you go about that? Something else to think about. In the process of knowing that you need to change some behaviors in your life, how do you go about that? Here's what I do know. I know that if we want to come to a place of rest and peace, I'll say this again. If we want to come to a place of rest and peace, we need to be delivered from our situation. And I know that we need to go to God to change ourselves and our circumstances. You must go to him to change yourself and your circumstance to receive that deliverance. Deliverance. Deliverance is liberty or type of freedom. A freedom that allows us to be at rest or peace. Especially when we're at rest or peace, we have what? Peace of mind. Our mind becomes at peace. And when we fear, or we do, what do we fear when we need to be delivered from? Well, as we walk around day to day, there's things that we think that we need to be delivered from, and we walk in these things that maybe we don't need to. Like, for instance, in the natural, when people are dating and they're in love, sometimes they worry about not hearing from that person. I wish he would call. I wish she would call. I want to call and see what they're doing. Maybe I can just stay more in touch. You know, we have these security issues, or maybe they're insecurity issues. Just saying, you know. And maybe when the relationship is in trouble and we need it to be restored, where do you go to get it restored? Are you going to family and friends? Are you on your knees and calling him? How about when we're having financial trouble? Where do you go for your financial situations and financial trouble? And how about healing? You know, as I'm getting older, I really feel my body breaking down. It's really happening. And I'm feeling like, you know, I can't do like I used to. Just getting out of bed sometimes is work. It really is. I'm thinking, you move and something's creaking and turning and aching, and you're like, Lord, I just need a massage before I get up. It's crazy. You know, we break down, we're getting older, so our bodies need some healing. But there's other healings that we need. You know, some of us have issues of anger, bitterness, negativity. How about jealousy? Whoa. And maybe, and just maybe, that can be wrapped up in things like pride. See, when things aren't going well for you, the first thing, when people come for counseling and they ask me, like, well, you know, I need this, I need that, I need some counseling, and they tell me all these things that are going on, and I ask them, well, how's the way you're doing it working for you? Because I'm thinking, you wouldn't be here talking to me if you were doing the things that God told you to do, the way he told you to do it, and you didn't partially obey, but you fully obeyed, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in. So I tell folks, how is that really working for you? You know, and then I find out, well, do you want to change your circumstance and be delivered from some of these things? Here's what you need to do to get this deliverance. Because why? You want rest and peace of mind. So without God, you can't get through life. I don't care what people say. I don't care what you think you need to do. I do know you need God to get through your situation. Without God, you can't get delivered from a thing. You think you can get it on your own. You think that you have a plan or an option. But guess what? Without Him, you cannot get delivered. Without God, you get stuck. Stuck in your what? Your own understanding. Your own understanding about how to get through a situation. Your own understanding of how to make it through whatever is coming your way. You think you have the answer. I'm not saying you're not smart, but if you're not seeking Him for some of those answers, you're not smart. Without God, maybe we should be coming like in this place today and get surprised about what God can do for you. Maybe you should have walked in here with an expectation of what He could do for you. Maybe you should have came in the house today expecting to be delivered from a certain situation that's coming against you or that you might be in right now. And if you came in here today because you thought it was the right thing to do, that was the wrong reason. You should have walked in here expecting Him to do something. Maybe today is the day that you call upon God and the power of the Holy Spirit to come down and fall on you and change your circumstance or your situation. Come expecting Him to do something. Now, see, we all have troubled times in our lives. But in our troubled times, where do we go? Where do you go? When something's really bothering you, who do you call? Fleshbusters? You see, the older folks in here understand what I'm talking about. So they recognize that. So here's the thing. We need to be seeking God and looking for or expecting God to take over whenever it rains. See, we need to be expecting God to show up, speak to us, teach us, and deliver us. But here's the thing. Understand, it's God's prerogative to show up. It is His prerogative to show up in our troubled times. And however, but when God shows up, I guarantee you, you will see the full demonstration of His power and His ability. You will see it. Sometimes we go through difficult times trying to get through the situation of life, maybe not fully seeing or understanding the power of God or His ability because we may have a couple of blocks. Maybe we have a small mental picture of God and the Holy Spirit. Even our prayers to God have become something that we do or becomes routine for some, and maybe lack passion or expression. Or maybe it's an inability to trust God and the Holy Spirit to perform. See, there's no longer an excitement or an expectation for Him to do something. That's where the church has gone to the point where people aren't excited about God anymore. And they come to church out of routine, not expecting Him to move, not expecting the Spirit to move and to take over. I heard once Mike Bickle identify this as a heart standard. he looked out, and that's how he communicates the lack of excitement or expectation for God to move. It's a heart standard. And this heart standard is which he later adopted as the core values of his revised ministry. He wrote that many see the church today as boring, irrelevant, or just non-threatening. Acts 5:11-13. Here, the apostles were out healing people, doing many things that they could do. And when the scripture says, yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. So in other words, it's like, yep, those are good men. Those are good men of God. Those are, yep, man, they're doing awesome stuff. We ain't with them, but they're good people. We're not going in to join them, but they're good. The church should be expressing its life together as a people of prayer, walking out the Sermon on Mount lifestyle in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. As I was looking more further in what Brother Mike was saying, he gave some points of his revised ministry, which he still uses today. He says, number one, some of the things to do this and walking out this lifestyle means you need to start with one, intercession. Well, what is intercession? Worshiping and prayer night and day. Prayer and worship night and day. It affects your time. Your time here on this earth, the time of how you use your time, how you invest your time. We should be people who are worshiping and praying night and day. Number two was holiness, the other heart condition. The Sermon on the Mount is a lifestyle that affects our thoughts and our attitudes. And in a few weeks, I'm going to be preaching on the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle, how it affects your mind and your thoughts. Number three was offering is a heart condition. Extravagant giving can't happen if you're living extravagantly. So extravagant living starts by humble, simple living. If you're living too extravagant in your lifestyle, you can't give to God extravagantly. And the fourth one was prophetic. Confidence in God's intervention, provision, protection, and direction. And standing boldly in the faith for what the Spirit is saying. This affects us, and is most difficult to do because it affects our identity and our security. And who we are, who we think we are. But it's this piece right here, the prophetic, that I want to spend some time on and expanding about. Again, the prophetic, confidence in God's intervention. Expecting him to move. Confidence in his intervention. Provision, protection, and direction. Are those not things that you would like God to move and do in your life? Give you some protection, some direction, or his provision? If you look at the letters, which out of each one of these points of the heart condition, IHOP, they spell what? IHOP, which is what his ministry is. See, now let's look at here at someone who lived the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. One of my favorite people to look at, and that's King Jehoshaphat. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 2-3. Now, here the word says, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazanon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Now let me explain this here. Jehoshaphat now was the fourth king of the kingdom of Judah. The name Jah, J-A-H, or J-E-H-U, Jah or Jahu, which in turn is in part an abbreviation form of Yahweh, the name of the Lord. Shafat means to judge or to govern, a ruling in general sense, now translated today with words like justice, ordinance, custom, or manner. The ultimate ruling of God that starts at Judgment Day is therefore not simply a division between the lost and the saved, but rather the commencement or the beginning of humanity that now, directly under God's permanent government, separates themselves apart from humanity and rejects that justice. Let me say that again. The ultimate ruling of God that starts at Judgment Day is therefore not simply a division between the lost and the saved, but rather the commencement of humanity now directly under God's permanent government, separated from the part of humanity that rejects justice. Jehoshaphat, as the king of this time, was by no accident a positioned, appointed leader. He was a position-appointed leader. Now, history illustrates during this time of the story that we find that the people of Moab and the Ammonites and other people were at battle against King Jehoshaphat. And some came and told the king that a great multitude is coming against you. Anybody ever felt that? A great multitude is coming against you. Now, the intelligence, or what I will call the leadership, or the people of authority, came to the king to tell him, "You are about to face some troubled times, my brother, and it's coming." Now, this was not about Jehoshaphat not facing his situation. No, no, no. He was going to face the situation. He was going to face it head on, no matter what was going to take place. But Jehoshaphat, he did fear. But however, in his fear, what did he do? He went straight to the Lord for direction. Straight to the Lord for his direction. He gave orders through Judah for the people to do what? Fast. 2 Chronicles 20, 5 through 10. We're going to stay in this story here. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said this, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it, have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague of famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade, and when they came from Egypt, so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possessions that you gave us as inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us, and we do not know what to do. But our eyes are fixed on you. We do not know what to do. We can't make it through this situation, but our eyes are fixed on you." Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful during this time. He built fortresses all over. He still knew he had to go through what he had to go through. He still knew he had to face this battle head on and face on. He knew that he had to step forward and step in this situation. He knew it, but he said, God, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need you to come in and to take over. We're just going to fix our eyes on you. As he was becoming increasingly powerful, he built these things called storage cities. Now today, those of you who are in the military, we would call those ammunition supply points. And they were strategically placed all over the place. All over and around so they could get to stuff when they needed to strategically during war. He had one large, big army. His army, if you count the numbers, his army totaled over 1.5 million people. That's a large army. And his people were battle ready. These people were not just waiting to be trained. These were trained soldiers who were battle ready. If you had 1.5 million people ready to do battle for you, you would feel pretty confident, wouldn't you? Well, here's the thing. He was not confident because that 1.5 million was nothing that was coming against them. That multitude was nothing that was coming his way. So even these numbers were too small to defeat this great, great thing that was coming against him and his people. I can just only imagine as a leader how that must feel, knowing that that weight was on his shoulders. He says, God, will you not judge them as we do not have any power against this great multitude? His 1 million plus army was no match for what was coming. He did fear, even though he had all these things. Strategically placed people, ammunition stuck in different places, people all around, an army of trained people. He did have fear, but his fear was not because he felt he was in danger. His fear was because he was a leader of people and he feared for his people. He wanted them to be safe. He was a good king and a good leader, and yet he didn't have the answers on what to do. Now, what do people do when they're in trouble? They look to their leadership for the answers. They look for people who are in charge for a resolution or help or support. He was a great king, but he said, I don't have the answer. So he called upon the whole nation to have a time of fasting. And as a strong leader, he became very transparent to his people, standing out in the court and telling his people, I know it's coming and I know we have to do something, but I don't have the answer. So all I can say is we need to fast and pray and fix our eyes on God. The king became transparent at that time. Let us seek God and let us get help from the Holy Spirit and trust God. Our eyes are on you. Now, when we're in trouble, what do we do? When you're in trouble, what do? Our flesh tends to take over, and sometimes we want someone, anyone, to step in and help us through our situation. Doesn't matter what situation it is. We just want somebody to come and fix our problem. We want somebody to come and take care of our situation. We want someone to give us an answer on how to get resolved, how to go through and be finished on what needs to be done. It's bothering me and I want it to stop. I have no rest or peace in mind. And these things I want to be delivered from. So tell me how I'm going to do this. Give me some counsel. Give me some direction. Give me some guidance. Give me something else other than my own understanding. Wow. Maybe, just maybe, if we learn to call on the Holy Spirit for some guidance and wisdom,
He can help you through and give you those answers that you need for. Just maybe.
I would love to follow a transparent leader like Jehoshaphat. A man that can stand up and say, I'm the guy that you all have this expectation, but you know what? Guess what? I don't have all your answers. Maybe we should call upon God and the Holy Spirit. Maybe we should do some things other than what we think we understand. Maybe we should step into a whole nother realm and remove ourselves out of the natural and expect God to do something and expect God to move. Now let's look back at the word and how Jehoshaphat gets an answer. Verse 17, it says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So he says, look, go. First he tells them, go. The word says, go. Position yourself. Go. Get ready. Prepare. Position yourself. He gets a heads up to where the position is. I love this. In verse 16, it says, tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. So I'm sitting there going, hey, wait a minute. Not only do I know what I'm supposed to do, I know what my enemy is going to be at. I can defeat them if I kind of know where they're going to be at. If you always knew where the enemy was going to be at to attack you, and you got a word on how to defeat them, wouldn't that help you? Amen. So he gets this word, which I think is awesome. And then he's told, stand firm. Which I love that. Stand firm. Standing firm is something you must actively do. Standing firm is not just waiting and not doing nothing. Standing firm is an action, and that takes some practice. That takes some energy. That is an action word. Standing firm. And not only does he not want them to stand firm, but he wants them to stand firm with confidence. Stand firm with confidence. And number four, I wrote down, it says, he tells them to see, to receive the deliverance of the Lord. Receive the deliverance of the Lord. They get to see him move. And then he says, most importantly, no matter what is going on, no matter what your situation is, no matter what is happening, the Lord will be with you. Right there by your side, going through your situation. So what's he told to do? Position yourself. Go. Prepare. Be ready. Get ready. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Stand boldly. He tells them where the enemy is going to be at. So he can position himself, stand firm, stand in confidence, and get ready. Watch God move. Watch how I'm going to take care of this thing, because no matter what, I'm going to be right there with you. Now picture everything is going wrong right now, maybe, and there are things right now in your life that are coming against you. Things that you may be outside your understanding. Sometimes these things can cause people to be overwhelmed. Anybody ever been overwhelmed? Yeah, okay, I'm just checking. But here's the thing. When people get experience being overwhelmed at any time, a lot of times for some of us, a panic behavior sets in. And some of us are very gifted in the panic behavior. Now, see, you know, and that panic behavior then sometimes creates these things called fear and anxiety. When we get into that panic behavior, we have fear and anxiety. Now, these are what I like to call the what if people. Anybody know them what if people who live in the, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And we need to do this, and we need to do that. And if this doesn't take place, we probably should do that. And we need to probably do this. And if we don't do this, this is going to probably be the situation. If this situation doesn't happen, then this could happen. If this doesn't happen, maybe we should do this. We need to really do this. And if we don't do that, oh my gosh, it's probably going to end up this way. These are the what if people. See, they can't stand still, and they won't stand still. See, God told Jehoshaphat, position yourself, stand still, and receive. Church, our focus needs to be towards the ability of trusting God and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and take over when it's raining in your lives and your situations. Amen? My favorite, most favorite, favorite verse, Exodus 14:14. I love this. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Why are you still trying to do things out of your own understanding? Why are you still trying to do things because you think you have a better option or any option at all? So God tells Jehoshaphat, go and meet this challenge, this great multitude that is coming against you. Do it and do it without fear, but stand still. Now, sometimes in the flesh, you know, you get a word and you hear from God. And then sometimes what do? We partially obey. Not anybody in here, of course. So now what happens when people partially obey? And why do we do that? Well, we partially obey because obeying fully may mess up something that we're just not comfortable with. We want to stay in this area, and if we obey, it may put us over in this area, and that's not comfortable for me. So I'm going to be over here and just go to the line. Why do we partially obey? Well, sometimes we think we have an understanding. We want to help God out. Using what we think is wisdom, we start calling people what we think are in high places who can help us through our situation. We start calling out family members and friends, or maybe you call the pastor, maybe. Maybe you call all the folks in the community. If you need a loan, you're going to call the bank and have the bank help you out, right? That's what we do. But shouldn't we be calling on and seeking on God and asking the Spirit to take over and move on any situation? Shouldn't we be going there first? Before we pick up that phone, before we call somebody else, shouldn't we be calling on him first? Why don't we? Well, maybe we don't because maybe it's been a long time since you tangibly experienced God. Tangibly experienced God, where you had a touch from him, where you felt him or his presence. Or maybe just had an embrace or a kiss by him in the Spirit. Maybe you haven't felt that in a long time. Maybe it's been a long time since you've just held his hand and walked with him and talked with him. Maybe it's been a while since you've just done that. See, but if you don't know somebody, you can't walk and talk with them. You need to know them first. And maybe it's been a long time since you cried out to him and asked the Holy Spirit to intervene in your situation, your life battle, your problem, or the multitude that you're in that's coming or that you're in that's already against you. Some of you have some stuff that's already against you right now, and you need to be delivered from. You need to have the Holy Spirit come in and take over to give you that guidance and direction. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt safe, like the father protecting his child. Maybe it's been a long time since you fell on your knees
and just gave him thanks? When's the last time you fell on your knees, gave him thanks, and thanking him, praising him, and worshiping, just giving him worship? Maybe it's been so long for these areas because we are so busy moving and going instead of standing still, calling upon the Spirit of the Lord, and positioning ourselves to listen and be ready for God to move. Through Jehoshaphat, we see glimpses. We see salvation of God. Because salvation here is a liberation. It's a freeing. It's a deliverance. And it's a safety. And a salvation in this context is like a physical rescue. Anybody need a physical rescue? But see, God can do that. He can physically rescue you. He can do it wherever you are, no matter your need, no matter your circumstance. No matter your situation. But here's the thing. Maybe you need to call upon him in the Holy Spirit. And maybe you need an expectation to be expecting him to move and deliver you. Call upon the Holy Spirit and ask him to move in your life. Whatever you are ashamed of, whatever you are afraid of, get your pride and your flesh out of the way. And don't be worried about your image. You don't have to worry about your image at all, because if you got pride and fleshly issues, you ain't looking too good to him anyway right now anyway. You need to get that stuff out of the way and just call on him so you can break through and break out and let the Spirit move. Let it move in you. Now, at the end of the story, 2 Chronicles 20, 27 through 29, it says, Then led by Jehoshaphat, all of the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. Now, I'm understanding that they are bringing instruments, which I understand. Because they are ready to worship and give thanks. They're like, we've been delivered. God took care of this. We're going to praise and dance. And this is awesome. And he took care of us. He came through. He met us there. He told us where to go. We were expecting it, and it happened. So now we're going to go rejoice. See, continue reading. It says, the fear of God came on all of the surrounding kingdoms. And when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Peace and rest. On every side. That means there's nothing in front of you to worry you, nothing behind you to worry you, and nothing on either side. You are at complete peace and rest. And when you can live in that place, your mind is at complete peace and rest. You can just lay back. And that's why they want to go and worship and praise him. That's why they're about to go dance and sing and shout. There's complete peace. Now watch out. Here's a part of the story that's really cool. Now remember, Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. So what did he do? He called for people to fast and pray. And while he was asking God for intervention, and while he was addressing his people, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord fell upon Jahaziel. The king was doing what he does, doing what people expected him to do. This humble leader, man of God, transparent to his people, totally yielding himself, saying, I don't have the answer and I can't do it. I am totally beside myself and at my wits. We're just going to fast and pray, fix our eyes on God. The answer didn't come to him. The Holy Spirit fell on somebody else.
Jehaziel, who I love. Jehaziel, a prophet in the Hebrew Bible, and his name means beheld by God. Now, I'm not surprised. Jehaziel, part of his name has the A-H in it, which God's name is directly in the middle, just like Jehoshaphat. This is crazy. Do you think this is by accident? This is not by accident. 2 Chronicles 20:14 says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, and the Levite of the descendant of Asaph. He stood in the assembly. What was he doing? He was just standing in the assembly. Jehaziel, he was just a guy that was there. Came to see probably what the leadership, the king, was going to say and do. He was just there. One of the guys in the crowd, standing there, which I love. Jehaziel, mentioned at this time of the scriptures, was just an average guy. He had no real authority. His name is mentioned twice before and twice after this time frame. Jehaziel was an unknown person, a person without title, just an ordinary person, kind of like you and I. Just kind of like you and I. Now, here's what's cool about this. The Spirit of the Lord came and fell upon Jehaziel. The answer never came from the king. I think this is so cool because the people expected the word to fall on the king. They expected to get it from the king. They expected the Holy Spirit to speak through Jehoshaphat because he was the leader. But this isn't always how God works. God usually has a whole different plan and likes to make things happen a little bit differently than your expectation or your understanding. So let me tell you something. First, I read this, and I love this story, but when I read this, one thing I get out of this is we need to stop looking for natural answers to supernatural problems. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? We look in the natural to solve things in the supernatural. People, we can't solve nothing supernatural in the natural. God does not look for people with titles and positions like pastor or deacon or bishop or prophet or evangelist to carry out his work. He is only looking for people who will be obedient to his word and what he's saying, his voice. He is only looking for people to be obedient. He just wants willing hearts. Willing hearts. So he will search the crowds. Search the crowds until he finds someone like Jehaziel, which I love. He will search that crowd to carry out his purpose. Now, remember, the king went to the nation. He went to his collective body and he said, "We, not I, we need to fast and seek God." He didn't say, "I need to fast and seek God." He said, "We as a body need to do this." This humbling leader, by doing this, allowed the Holy Spirit to fall on anyone by doing that. Because he yielded himself. So that means it could happen. Anyone in here could have gotten the answer to the problem. The Spirit of God could fall on anyone in this church at any time, at any place, at any moment. Here's the thing. You don't even need to be a seasoned Christian for it to happen. You can be a new Christian. Maybe just got saved yesterday, and the Spirit can fall on you, and God can use you, speak to you, and you can be powerful. Powerful. It can happen. Sixth row, second person, third person on the right. Watch out. You just don't know. We just don't know. How do we get to the place where we don't allow God to speak through ordinary people anymore? How do we get to this place? You know, just like it happened in Jehaziel. It seems like that if we are all standing to me, if we're all standing, kneeling, or laying at the foot of the cross, we are all the same. Now back to the story. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and Jehaziel says, "Listen, all you Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and listen, King Jehoshaphat." Now, here he is saying, "Listen to the king." He's standing out in the crowd telling everybody, "Y'all need to listen." Now, that's a little bold to me. You know, he's telling the king, "Y'all need to listen." You know, but Jehaziel that delivers God's word, the answer to the king, here's what comes. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours." It is not your battle. This ain't your thing that's about to happen. This is about a supernatural thing that's about to happen and take place. This isn't about you. God's just using you for this right now. This is not about you. He says, "For this battle is not yours, but God's." Now, the king has two choices at this point. He's got two reactions he could take. He could be like, "Who's that person? They don't know me like that, and y'all better tell him something." He could have turned his leadership. "Y'all better go tell him something. He can't holler at me like that. He don't know me like that. We're not cool like that. He can't come at me like this. Somebody go usher him out. He's being a little disruptive in the assembly. Somebody needs to remove that person right now because he can't come at me and be disrupting my thing." But no. Or the king could be a kind of man who searched his spirit and believed that this was a word from God and then gave God thanks and praise for receiving that word. This humble king, this humble leader, drops to his knees, bows his head, and thanks God for the word. Do you know what a privilege it is for God to speak to us directly? This is a privilege that many of us have forgotten or take advantage of. We don't even expect that sometimes. Now, how many times did you ever hear the word of God and maybe didn't recognize that was his word? Or maybe somebody had something to share for you and you didn't want to receive, or you partially obeyed and went into your own understanding. It is a privilege to have him speak to you. It is a privilege to have the Spirit speak to you. Here are four positional postures that Jehoshaphat took that we can do. Number one, position yourself to be still and wait on God. Number two, position yourself in the presence of God. As we sang this morning about the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, your presence is heaven to me. Position yourself in the presence of God. See, when we're in the presence of God, that increases your faith. In the presence of God, he empowers you in faith. Position yourself, number three, to recognize the promises of God. See, the promises of God sustain faith. The promises of God sustains your faith. And number four, position yourself
at the principles of God.
Now, I just kind of heard something that if you live your life according to God's principles, then chances are the harder times of life are lessened. So maybe if we position ourselves to follow God's principles, then we'll be doing things according to His word, His understanding, instead of our own. Our life will be moving and flowing so much better.
The Bible is full of principles for us to follow.
Now here, we are all appointed leaders by God that can help others follow God's principles. All of us here have a responsibility. All of us here have the power. All of us here know now that the Spirit can fall on anybody in here, and God can move, and you can go out and lay hands on people, heal folks, raise the dead. Do you realize you can do this? It's not the pastor leadership. It's not folks who are in charge. It's all of us. It's you too. And if you don't understand that you have that power, or do you realize that there are life choices that you make that can compromise how that power works in you? That's where you need to be careful, where you're walking in a path where that power is not compromised. We are all appointed leaders by God that can help others follow God's principles. You can do other things too. You can run a group. You can lead a Bible study. You can support the church body or other ministries. Just pick one, get in it, follow and obey. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Deuteronomy 1:9-13 says, as Moses spoke to all of Israel in the wilderness, this is where we're talking about the appointed leaders and why it was necessary. The word says, at that time I said to you, You are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. The Lord your God has increased your numbers so that today you are numerous as the stars in the sky. May the Lord of God of your ancestors increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. But how can I bear your problems and your burdens and your disputes all by myself? Choose some wise, understanding, respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. The church is calling wise leaders in the body to be now to take over it. The Spirit has fallen on you. If you yield to it and follow, step in and obey. Don't expect somebody else to do this stuff. It is not the person next to you's responsibility for you to step in and understand what God has called you to do. Or watching other people do it and having an opinion about what's going on while you're sitting out there watching. I mean, let me just be really honest about it. Here's the thing. To me, if you really want to have something to say, then you need to be a part of what's going on. Otherwise, you lose your opportunity to have a complaint. So don't come with this, that, or the other. If you're not involved, you lose your opportunity to have something to say. Now, if you're involved, that's what he wants you to do. Because now, as a body, we can come together. We can come together. See, the other thing that bothers me is that we, as a body, need to... You know how many churches are in the radius of this building right here? I think the last time I counted, there's like 28 churches within like a 5-mile radius right here of this building right here. My guess is that many of them started because folks got offended. Stepped up in the house and something happened that they didn't like, that they didn't want. They didn't want to have to be bothered with. So we're going to do our own thing. You know, that has to grieve God's heart. That has to grieve his heart. Because you know, what has that created? Division in the body. Division in the kingdom. I know that's got to hurt his heart. Maybe we should be a church, this church, Broad Street Church should be the church to set the example. Maybe we should be going out there knocking on the doors and saying, brother, can we serve you today? Is there something that we can do for you in your campus and your ministry today? Can we do anything for you that will bless you and your people? Maybe we can build some bridges and come together as a body and bring the neighborhood together as a body. And maybe, just maybe, we'll be expecting then the kingdom to move and the spirit to move all over this city. We can do that. We don't need to look for somebody else to do it. We can do that. Worship team, come on up. See, people, why don't everybody stand? Let's everybody stand. We're going to get ready to close. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We have an opportunity, church, to do some supernatural stuff here in the natural. If we allow God to move, if we expect Him to move. But we need to humble ourselves and we need to be transparent. The key is, will we, will you do those things? Here's what I know. People of God, position yourself for the victory. Position yourself for God to take over and deliver you from your situation. Be expecting Him to do those things in your life. If you don't come expecting, if you're not ready for Him to move, you can miss something. Then you can't see the full power, glory, and ability of the Lord. So let's today call upon the Holy Spirit to be strengthened in our lives. Calling upon the Spirit to move over us, in us, through us, around us. So we can have what? Rest. Rest. In front of us, behind us, and outside of us. Every side. Be at peace and at rest. You know, some of you in here right now, I know, need that peace of mind and that rest. We may not know what you're going through, whether it might be a financial situation that you just really need God to take over. You need to call the Holy Spirit to take over and move. Maybe it's a relationship or family issue that needs to take place and you need God. You need to call on the Holy Spirit to move and intervene for you. Maybe it's a relationship issue with a spouse or a friend that you need to be restored. God wants to position you for safety. Safety from that thing that's coming against you. And He might use you and use one of you if you allow Him to move. Move in you. Move around you. Move over you. Can you trust Him to do that? Will you trust Him to do that? The real question is if you are in here today and you need to be rescued, if you have anything that you need to be rescued, His word said, stand still and wait upon the Lord. Listen for His voice and then step into that obedience. Step into that place of obedience. And just maybe, you will find that safety through your situation in the Father's arms.
I saw the Lord seated on His throne. Clothed in glory.
This aisle.